Welcome to this ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. ICMA is the premier local government leadership and management organization. The ICMA Sustainable Communities Initiative strengthens local government's capacity to meet their sustainability goals. For more information, visit icma.org.
Hi, I'm Emily Dodson with ICMA Center for Sustainable Communities. Today we're talking with Bruce Plank, Tucson City's Solar Energy Coordinator. Thank you for joining us today, Bruce.
Thank you.
So first, can you tell us about the City of Tucson's Solar Energy Integration Plan and the Greater Tucson Solar Energy Development Plan and the goals included in these plans?
Sure. In some ways, these plans seem like they were so far in the past now because even though it's only been a few years, we tried to put forth a program or at least a roadmap for what we thought was going to be the solar development we wanted to see, number one, within the City of Tucson, and number two, within the Greater Tucson area. And most of the items that we talked about in that plan, including the amount of solar, have been surpassed. For example, we talked about the possibility of 16 megawatts total installations in the area by 2015, and at the moment there's a single 25 megawatt solar farm being built. In addition, there's already been a 5 megawatt solar facility that's built adjacent to housing at an Air Force base, and at least 3 1-megawatt facilities built by the city and the county. So these larger developments came on much faster than we thought. Basically, we used those plans to try to outline both overall goals for solar installations as well as some needed changes in various policies that we thought were important to lay the foundation for an expanded solar scenario in and around Tucson.
As part of Tucson's work as a Solar America city, the city has worked to improve the regulations and building codes to help streamline the installation process. Can you tell us some of the specific changes to codes and ordinances?
One of the main things that we had to deal with was the problem that we identified that the closed landfills we have in the city that we thought would be perfect locations for medium-sized solar farms were unavailable because of a very restrictive aspect of the zoning code. So we were able to convince the mayor and council to change our city land use code to allow for solar development in all zoning codes with appropriate hearing procedures. That's one thing. We've also adopted a $1,000 fee waiver for building permit fees for solar projects so that if somebody wants to do a new kitchen project, their building permit might cost X dollars. If somebody wants to do an equivalent value solar project, it's going to cost X dollars minus $1,000 because we're trying to incentivize solar projects. So those are a couple of examples I can think of right off.
Tucson has also found creative financing mechanisms to fund municipal solar installations. Can you tell us more about these and the installations that they've made possible?
Sure. In the last 3 years, we've used CREBS, that stands for Clean Renewable Energy Bonds, to finance 1 megawatt in our last project and 2 megawatts in projects currently under construction. Those CREBS bonds were limited, and we were successful in applying for an allocation with the Internal Revenue Service. They're zero interest, for all intents and purposes, bonds, so they're much cheaper than regular city bond financing. We also were lucky in getting a congressionally directed project, sometimes referred to as port projects, but we don't think so because we got it. And that is funding a project now under construction at a combination library and police station. We've used PPA financing for a large-scale project at one of our water pumping plants. And we also have used direct city financing in terms of adding solar to buildings that are being built as new city projects. So we've tried to use all these different kinds of methods to do solar. And as a result, we've gone from about 120 kilowatts of solar 5 years ago to about 2.5 megawatts now, and we'll have an additional 1.5 megawatts in the next 6 months. Very big increase.
What have been some of the program's successes over the last 3 years?
I'd say probably the most successful thing has been the demonstrating in our different projects different kinds of technologies. So while it's come in for a lot of abuse in the press lately, we installed a Solyndra system on one of our buildings that had a very weak roof. It wouldn't support a regular solar installation, but the installer suggested we try Solyndra. We put up the Solyndra system, and it worked fine. So that was an example of using new technology, new kind of solar technology, as a demonstration. We also put up some of the first single-axis trackers, large-scale single-axis trackers in town. Now there are a number of projects like that. So we see the city as demonstrating different kinds of solar technology, sometimes ahead of other people, not always, but sometimes ahead of other people. We've also participated in quite a large number of educational programs, many of them being led by Congresswoman Gabrielle Gifford's office. So we've joined with them in doing these programs called Solar 101 programs to try to make sure that there's constantly information available to the public. And then more recently, partnering with Pima County, our local county government, we established the Solar One Stop. The idea was to have one location where people could get whatever info they needed on solar, be it a homeowner trying to find out about tax incentives, a developer trying to find out about available land for a solar farm, or an installer that needed to find out about licensing requirements or how to figure out utility rebates. All of those are available on a website. And paired with that, we have a physical location where people can, in the permitting building, where people can walk in and see an actual solar panel, a solar water heater, a solar pool heater, an inverter, in case they've never actually seen those things close up. And then the last thing we did that we think is kind of cool is we did a map for tourists. So if you come to Tucson as a tourist and you're driving around and you want to see solar, you can look at our tourist map and it'll give you 20 or 30 sites where you can drive around and see what solar looks like on the roof of a building. So we've tried to educate the public and demonstrate positive attitude towards solar and encourage the industry in a variety of ways.
What have been some of the key challenges that the program has faced?
Couple of things. One is as the rebates drop, which has been happening in Arizona, much like everywhere else, there's always the folks that regret not having bought their solar system when the rebates were higher, so it's a continuing education plan. There's been the continued problem of people not being able to afford solar that we haven't had a good answer to, although now solar leases seem to have taken sort of center stage as far as residential installs go, and that's an interesting development that we've been tracking. The zoning code I mentioned that we've gotten cleaned up, and I think the biggest thing probably is just getting people to understand that there are a variety of good reasons to go solar, whether it's putting in solar water heating as a way to take advantage of the abundant sunshine we have, or taking advantage of the community solar programs that we have. But I think always it's been a combination of financing and education, and both of those I think are getting resolved, even though they have been barriers in the past.
In offering advice to other communities that are looking to start solar initiatives, what would you identify as the main lessons learned from Tucson's efforts?
I think the first thing is to make sure you build up the human infrastructure. So you have to make sure you've got people that are interested in solar from the private world as well as from the world of government who get used to working together to identify the barriers and work together to eliminate them. So that could be zoning issues, it could be utility interconnection issues, it could be public perception, it could be restrictions in homeowners associations, but it's basically identifying the players that you need to make change and get them all in the room together early on. And then I think that's really the most important thing, because that gives you the basis for future education and for future policy changes. So I'd start with the people. And then, of course, to the extent that you can develop solar industry in town, if that's possible, that's a great thing too, because it gives you some people that are economically invested in the industry. But I think the main thing really is to start looking at the barriers and look at what other cities have done and then start knocking them down. And, of course, there are a lot of good resources to do that. And some of the best examples, I think, are in the Solar Powering Your Community booklet, which gives very concrete and specific examples of things that cities have done to deal with a lot of those issues. But in a nutshell, I'd say get the resources you need and build up the human capital in the organization so that later you have the structure to make the changes you need.
What do you see as the future of solar in Tucson?
Oh, that's a great question. What I hope is that we'll go beyond what we have now, which is a requirement that all homes, new homes that are built, be solar ready. I'm hoping that we'll have a requirement that all new buildings, both residential and commercial, have solar installed. That would be my hope. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I think the next thing is going to be solar continuing to expand. Solar's gotten much cheaper over the years. We have an awful lot of rooftops that don't have solar on it, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason for any building or home in Tucson that's unshaded not to have solar panels. So I'm hoping that we'll start seeing a roof without solar panels being the exception rather, you know, than the rule.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today, Bruce.
Sure, my pleasure, Emily. Thank you very much.
This has been an ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. For more information about ICMA's Sustainable Communities Initiative, visit icma.org.